This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. When you hear the term sport, what comes to mind? Maybe you think of some of the more traditional stick and ball sports, such as soccer, basketball, baseball. You could go back to ancient history for wrestling and track and field. Or maybe you think of some more modern sports, like skateboarding and BMX cycling. But what about ninja? As in American Ninja Warrior, the athletic-based obstacle course game show that was widely popular throughout the 2010s. Here's a quick refresher.
She's hanging on for dear life! How she has the strength, I do not know, but Catanzaro refuses to quit on this course.
Man, this girl is not human. She's not human.
Swing back. Just the second athlete tonight to make it through the eighth obstacle. And now, Tyler facing this new obstacle, the Iron Maiden.
Doing the jump. Oh, man. Jump.
That tells you how talented he is.
Chris Wilczewski is destroying this course.
Oh, my.
These kids don't panic. Nice. And he gets through. Take some breath here before Diamond Dash. Go, 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 go!
The show is still on today. Though its popularity has dipped a bit from its height, it still has its fans. So much so, in fact, that obstacle gyms inspired by the show have sprouted across the country, including here in Illinois. These gyms have even proven to be so popular that formal ninja leagues have been developed to provide opportunities for competition outside of the show. Joining us now are Tyler Yamauchi and Chris Wilczewski. Tyler's a physical therapist with his own clinic, Yama PT, and is a former gymnast for the University of Illinois Fighting Illini. Chris is president of the World Ninja League, and if you were paying attention to our compilation just now, both Chris and Tyler have competed in American Ninja Warrior. Tyler, Chris, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And also,
likewise, it's a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you.
We're glad you're here. And also with us to talk about the rising popularity of ninja as a sport are Aaron Williams and Justin Beeman, respectively the co-owner and an instructor at Iron Coyote Challenge Park, a ninja gym aimed at kids and younger teens in Bloomington. Aaron and Justin, welcome to you as well.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And listeners, as ever, if you want to join our conversation, you can give us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you're a fan of American Ninja Warrior, what questions do you have about that? Or just ninja as a sport in general? Maybe you have taken a child or grandchild to a ninja gym. What was that like? 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation today. So, Tyler, I'm going to start with you. For those who may not be as familiar with the show Ninja is based on, can you just tell us a little bit about what is American Ninja Warrior?
Yeah, well, American Ninja Warrior is like an athletic competition that started in Japan and kind of came over to the United States, and they took it over and kind of created its own beast of a thing. But it really takes a lot of different movements and styles. So like grip strength from rock climbing, parkour for agility, trampoline and body awareness from gymnastics. So it's kind of an all-encompassing event.
All-encompassing. And you mentioned it got started from a show in Japan. Was that a similar thing there, or was that different?
So yeah, the original show in Vegas, there's a four stages, stage one, two, three, and four. And the fourth stage is like this big tower. And Ninja Warrior, American Ninja Warrior, really took that into effect for their Las Vegas. But in Japan, that's like the only part of the show. So it's almost like a one-day shooting that they do. And here, they make a whole like summer season of it. So like they have a qualifying course and then a semifinals course to make it to Vegas. And then Vegas is about three episodes of the entire show.
Interesting. Interesting. All right, Chris, I want to bring you into the conversation now. Talk about what are some of the typical obstacles and challenges associated with the sport of ninja.
Yeah, ninja is really incredible because it is so dynamic in terms of what the athletes are doing, you know, in terms of obstacles. almost every other sport, there's kind of this standard that comes with the equipment. And, you know, every basketball court that you go to is going to have the same hoop. If you look at gymnastics, it's always the same apparatus. With Ninja, these obstacles are constantly changing. And they're all set to test different skill sets, whether it's the athlete's grip, balance, agility, a lot of the skill sets that Tyler was mentioning before. But the obstacles are so dynamic, and being able to overcome new obstacles is a big part of the challenge in the sport.
And how is Ninja different? We mentioned, I think parkour is something that probably looks the most similar when people see the athletes doing that sort of thing. How is Ninja different from parkour?
Yeah, that's a challenging question, because Ninja pulls from so many different disciplines. You can see elements of gymnastics in, you know, the athletes when they're hitting the trampolines and rebounding, and you can see elements of parkour in the movement styles of the athletes. So I guess the key difference is it's pulling from all these different disciplines, where some of the movements may look similar to something like parkour, but it's really, you know, borrowing some of those movements and testing that skill set.
I guess maybe we should explain that parkour is what, I guess, how would you define it? The efficient movement from one place to another. And if that means not, you know, taking the stairs, but rather climbing up the railing or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect explanation of it.
Okay. So Aaron Williams, I want to bring you into the conversation now. What inspired you to open up the Iron Coyote Challenge Park in Bloomington?
Sure. So hi, everybody. And I love listening to these two Ninja Warriors, especially us having this entertainment facility. But why did we bring it to Bloomington Normal? So we had an opportunity to bring something that we didn't know what, whether it be a franchise or something, I don't know, another restaurant, right? Bloomington's full of restaurants. But we really wanted to focus in on, we have three boys, 15, 10, and 8. And that was really the inspiration behind Iron Coyote. Again, we looked at several franchise opportunities and different things we could bring. And we really wanted to focus in on what could we bring to the community that would be family oriented, right? What's something that we can all do together? And, you know, we kind of started looking at ninja obstacles. We had a high ropes course here. We have fun walls and things like that. And so it's really about the physical piece of the entertainment side. And it's like, why wouldn't we do something like that to get these kids off of devices and be interactive with their families? So that's really where the inspiration and why a ninja course. I think it's very physical and everybody could do it.
Justin, I wonder, Justin Beeman, who you're an instructor at Iron Coyote there, what do you find yourself constantly explaining, you know, the concept of a ninja gym to people? There aren't too many of these located south of Interstate 80 here in Illinois.
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. Everybody, like when they come in, we get deliveries coming in. People have never stopped in here. They're like, what is this place? And I have to drop everything and tell them exactly what they're looking at and whatnot. I think a lot of times people hear that we're a ninja gym and they think, oh, it's where you go to do fitness and everything. And I'm like, no, this is a place where you and the entire family can get in here, or your friends, your siblings, your family, your older parents, anybody can come out here and try out something in a great facility that's it gives a safe opportunity to test out these things they've seen on American Ninja Warrior. And we also provide classes and everything that help these kids learn how to do these things. But so yeah, going back to the original question, we're always trying to get people to understand just what we are trying to do here. So sure. It's a constant communication piece for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to continue this conversation when we come back. We're talking about the rising popularity of ninja as a sport. Of course, made most famous by American Ninja Warrior, the television show, but there are gyms, some oriented, as we just heard, more towards entertainment, sort of family fun activity, as well as people taking this on as a training, trying to compete, not just on the NBC television show, but beyond. We're going to continue this conversation when we return. This is the 21st show. Do stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the growing popularity of American Ninja Warrior, or just plain ninja, as a sport, an alternative to sports like more traditional stick and ball sports, as you might say, basketball, baseball, football, even running and swimming. We're talking about this with Aaron Williams and Justin Beeman of Iron Coyote Challenge Park, which is a ninja gym oriented towards kids and young teens and families in Bloomington, Illinois. Also, Chris Wilcheski and Tyler Yamauchi, who are both former competitors on American Ninja Warrior, the NBC TV show. Chris is also president of the World Ninja League, which is looking to give people an opportunity to compete in ninja outside of that program. And Tyler Yamauchi is also a physical therapist at Yama PT and a former gymnast with the Fighting Illini Men's Gymnastics. If you want to join our conversation today, 800-222-9455. Tyler, let me ask about that. You had a background as a gymnast. What does it take to actually compete in this sport? How does one train and prepare for a sport that, as we mentioned earlier, combines trampolining and rock climbing and parkour and who knows what else?
I mean, I feel like the similarities of the training and the time and effort that I personally put in to become an elite level gymnast is the same type of training that these kids nowadays put in. So, I mean, you're talking 5-6 days a week, 2-4 hours a day. They take it seriously, and these kids are amazing. And because there's just so many different things you can train. Like if you do too much upper body one day, you can focus all on lower body the next day. So they can kind of balance those types of things. Within Ninja too, like on the show, if you've noticed, they became more technical skills. So they're not like physically taxing and difficult, but it's, you know, moving a bar to another location and making sure you get it on. So it's more of like a precision type thing. And that's what kids kind of spend a lot of time on and focus on. And then they start throwing backflips and stuff into the mix. It makes for really good Instagram reels.
It's not one of those sports where just being like as bulked up and muscular as possible is necessarily going to be an advantage. It might be a disadvantage, right? If it adds weight to you, I guess.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like any calisthenic, purely calisthenic sport is like that. I mean, if you look at a wrestler, a parkour athlete, a gymnast, like we don't carry any more muscle than we need, you know, because with our training, we get our purpose out of it and we only grow our muscles as big as we need. And it's quite funny when people are like, oh, wow, like how do you get like, how much do you bench or how much can you curl? It's like, I don't do any of that. Like, I just play on things.
Yeah, enough to lift your own weight, I guess, right? That's the answer. Chris, you know, I wonder how does, if somebody maybe doesn't have access to a specific ninja gym or you know, specific kind of training, is this something that is people can still get into on their own, and how should they approach that?
Yeah, ninja is one of the most accessible sports because it's really all about the body weight calisthenics. Personally spent a lot of years competing on the TV show and didn't necessarily have access to a ninja gym all the time. I spent a lot of time running, doing pull-ups and just, you know, basic stuff to just make sure that the strength and the body awareness was there. So really anybody can, you know, get into it as long as they have access to space to run and something to use to pull themselves up.
So it's not necessarily a question of like one of those sports where affluence, you need to be able to buy your way into an expensive program or club. What about gender? Is the sport open to women? Is it more, has that changed over time?
The sport's open to men and women, and we have a pretty decent split competing in the league. It's probably about 60-40, 60% males, 40% females, which, you know, has been steadily increasing over the years, which is awesome. And I think you can attribute that to, you know, really strong female role models and athletes like Jesse LeBrec or Casey Catanzaro, who was part of the clip that you played earlier. So really a really inclusive sport.
So, Justin, I want to come back to you now with Iron Coyote Challenge Park. We mentioned before the break that there aren't very many ninja facilities in downstate Illinois. Do you see the park there as sort of a hub for those interested in it, even if it is more for entertainment purposes?
Absolutely. It's a great starting point for anybody. We have all the different kinds of obstacles. We've got stuff as simple as balance beams, slack lines. We've got the warp walls. We've even got salmon ladder. In our classes, we help teach kids laches here. a lot of the different skills and body movements they need if they wanted to compete and everything. So we do see a lot of traffic coming from like the local area, as well as like Springfield, Peoria, Champaign. We definitely see people travel down here to come and test out things.
Aaron, I wonder, when you see people come into Iron Coyote, and you mentioned, we've mentioned this sort of entertainment focus, are kids nervous about doing these sorts of things?
Yeah, definitely. I would say half and half. You know, some kids that are more, you know, that thrill seeker, they don't even, you know, blink an eye. And then others may be a little intimidated. But then once they start getting moving, they just have a great time and they can't get enough of it, especially the small ones. Again, our probably demographic is that 5 to 12. Now, building it and in designing it, we thought it'd be more that 15 to 30 years old. But really, that 5 to 12, they just cannot get enough. They will try. We have three warped walls, 10, 12, and 14 foot. And then just put in perspective of the show, I believe it's 18 foot on the show, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys. And the little kids, or, you know, the 10-year-old, they go after that warped wall, and they go after that warped wall, and they go after it until they get it. And once they get it, it's just, they're lit up and they want more.
Yeah. Maybe we can describe, Tyler, can you just describe the warped wall for listeners who maybe don't remember it or have not seen that on the show, what that experience is like?
Yeah, so the warp wall is basically this curved wall. I just imagine, you know, like at a skate park, a big drop-in ramp. It's similar to running up something like that. With the show, they played around with different heights and different curves, but this, like, now they have a 14 and a half foot wall, and then they have this year an 18 and a half foot wall for season 15.
And what is it, what is that like, actually trying to do that thing? What, talk about the skills that you need and that you know, that you have to bring to bear to actually just get up it.
Yeah, so it's a ton of explosive power through the legs, obviously. But besides that, it's surprisingly a lot of technique. Most people who hit the wall the first time just run splat into it because you're like, I need as much force and power as I can. They don't bring their chest up and they're like a bug on a wall. But then after a while, you kind of figure it out. I found that for me, there's like a rhythm of my steps that I like to hit that really makes it easier and more successful. Also, like the types of shoes you're wearing, like if you have nice, we'll just call it grippy shoes, or like some rubber that's full throughout the bottom versus like spiky ones, they have less surface area, makes a big difference.
Interesting. What did you find, or what do you find is the most challenging obstacle, or has that changed over the years?
You know, that is really like ninja specific. So I'm only like 5'1". So anything that I have to jump to that's far is hard for me. There are literally times on the course where they have to put a block in just for me so I can reach the obstacle to start it. So you can imagine, anytime I have to jump or reach for things, it's not really where I want it to be. Luckily, they put a trampoline in for me most of the time if it's too far. But for other people, it might be their fingertip strength, it might be balance. So it's kind of a nice mix for everyone. It's not like one obstacle is the hardest for everyone.
Interesting. Chris, what about you then? What did you find most challenging personally for you?
Yeah, as listening to that and thinking about how I have almost the opposite problem as Tyler. I'm a little bit taller and on like your average build size. So I carry a little bit more weight, and some of the hanging stuff becomes a little bit more challenging for me because I'm carrying around a little bit more weight and I have a little bit more of a bigger frame. So it's almost the opposite problem that Tyler has.
Interesting. Justin, I wonder, do you see Ninja potentially rising up to compete with your more traditional stick and ball sports, you know, as an alternative? Do you see inner school competitions someday? Is that anywhere on the horizon? Is that happening anywhere?
That would be incredible for sure. I mean, the potential is definitely there. I mean, at schools, it might be a little bit technical and tricky to pull off because they definitely have to incorporate a lot more things in there to help with that. I mean, schools just helping with body weight exercises in general would help kids be more ready to achieve these different obstacles and challenges that they face in the competitions and stuff. It's something definitely would be a work in progress to get there fully. But it would be amazing to see. I mean, the sport translates and correlates so well to other sports. We have ninjas that come and train with us that they take the classes and they start off as just a fun thing. And then they start to grow with it. And then they take that, what they learn there, the speed, the strength, and the confidence, and they go and play other sports and they do exceedingly well in those sports as well. We have multiple baseball players that stepped out for baseball season. They're like, I'll be back next season, don't worry. So it's just, there's a lot of potential there in both directions for sure.
Aaron, how do you make sure that, that people are safe when they come into your facility? I've had birthday parties for my kids at the, we'll leave it nameless, a certain trampoline facility in central Illinois. And I'm like biting my fingernails the entire time when they are in certain areas there. How do you make sure that, that kids are safe and that their families can feel confident about that?
Sure. So that is an excellent question. And something we challenge, you know, we challenge with every single day. And for me, it really starts with my staff, my management team, the staff that I have, the orientation, the interview process, and they all can speak to it as safety is our first priority. Doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean people don't get hurt here, right? But we definitely take it very serious. And, you know, just try to communicate with the participants as much as we can and know, have them understand the risk, right? The ninja courses, it's like a parkour park, right? You're jumping around doing things. We got a lot of padding underneath that. The harness activities, again, are probably the safest, right? Because when they do fall, it catches them, right? They don't go anywhere. But I would say the ninja stuff is just like being in a park outside, and you just gotta do the best you can to communicate them and have the staff that are guiding them and educating them on the proper way to go through these obstacles.
Sure. No pools of water to fall into like on the television show, though. Tyler, let me ask you, in preparing, and we're coming to the end of our time together, in preparing for our conversation today, our producer saw some rumors among some in the ninja community that you might be returning to competition. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, so they actually just filmed season 15 and technically 16 already. And I think season 15 starts June 5th.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll take that as a non-answer answer then. Chris, let me maybe end with you. Chris Wilczewski, president of the World Ninja League. Where do you see the sport of ninja going from here?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. We've seen tremendous growth from when I started competing till now. We estimate that there's already, you know, 500,000 to 1 million athletes participating in ninja. And on our current growth rate, that number is going to scale exponentially. So we feel that, you know, ninja is going to become, you know, a mainstream sport in the coming years. And we think that that moment is approaching rapidly.
All right. I want to thank our guests today. Chris Wilczewski is president of the World Ninja League and a former American Ninja Warrior. Tyler Yamauchi is a physical therapist by day at Yama PT and a American Ninja Warrior by night. And Aaron Williams and Justin Beeman are from Iron Coyote Challenge Park in Bloomington, which is a ninja gym focused on children and younger teens and families. Thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st show. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
And that is all the time we have for our show today. I want to remind you, we love hearing what you think about what we've been talking about, whether it's today's program or any topic in the recent past or even the distant past, whether you liked it, didn't like it, if you think we got something wrong, or for whatever reason, let us know. You can leave a voicemail anytime, day or night. 217-300-2121 is the number there. 217-300-2121. You can also email us, talk@21stshow.org. We'll be sharing some of your responses on air from time to time. Before we go, I also want to urge you to join our texting group. We put questions to our listeners, and it does inform our coverage. You can do so by sending the word TALK, T-A-L-K, to 217-803-0730. I've just said a lot of different phone numbers and information, so if that's all too much, just go to our website, 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can find all the ways to contact us, email, voicemail. You can join our texting group. You can find our social media pages. You can also subscribe to our podcast or just go on Apple or Spotify and search for The 21st Show. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our intern is Owen Henderson. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to be talking about legislation in the Illinois General Assembly that would regulate so-called crisis pregnancy centers, which pro-abortion rights activists say are misleading some people who might be seeking abortion care, but these places are very anti-abortion. It's coming up tomorrow on The 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.